This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
In The Australian, Adam Crichton checked Labor's 211-page statement of Labor's beliefs, values and program for government and found 63 mentions of I in LGBTI, which stands for intersex. And Andrew Bolt asked in a blog post entitled New Labor Sex Craze, why is the oldest political party in Australia so obsessed with marginalised elitist rubbish? He highlighted that intersex was mentioned 63 times, that wealth is mentioned 61 times, and inequality is mentioned 47 times. Says Bolt in the piece, whatever intersex means or is, it is also more important than ownership, which gets 12 mentions, production, which gets 18 mentions, and distribution, which gets 10. Well, Adam Crichton and Andrew Bolt, if you didn't know, intersex is a general term used for a variety of conditions where a person is born with a reproductive or sexual anatomy that doesn't fit the typical definitions of male and female. They can be born with several variations in sex characteristics, including chromosomes, gonads, sex hormones, or genitals. And that means things aren't so cut and dried when giving the intersex community the support it needs. But don't worry, because the Australian and New Zealand intersex community are making it easier for you to understand and stand with them, thanks to the Darlington Statement. The statement sets out the calls and priorities by the intersex human rights movement in Australia. Dina Curry speaks to Tony Briffer from Intersex Human Rights Australia about how we can, as allies, can affirm and stand behind the statement and our intersex community.
Darlington Statement is a statement by intersex activists and groups from Australia and New Zealand that outline our demands and what we want for our human rights. It was put together last year by well over 20 activists and intersex groups, which I was very pleased to be part of, and includes everything from human rights, law reform, health and well-being, peer support, what we expect from our allies, education, employment. It's quite comprehensive. We had the Malta Statement from 2013, or the Malta Declaration, which was, again, put together by a number of intersex activists around the world in Malta at an intersex forum. I'm pleased to have been part of that. But that was the first version, I guess, of some sort of international statement about the intersex community and what we want. This went one step further and considered the whole range of other issues. It was very much needed because people seem to be confused about what intersex is and what it is that we want. And I'll even go as far as to say that some people, and I'm particularly talking about the medical profession here, were mischievous in terms of misrepresenting what it is that we actually wanted. Some were saying that, you know, intersex is a third sex, which is not. We're not advocating it to be a third sex. Some doctors are saying that we're completely anti-surgeries, and we are not. We are certainly against surgeries that are not medically required, that can be deferred, that are done without a child's consent. But we're not against all surgeries. If surgery has to be done, then they have to be done. But it shouldn't be done because of, you know, they're trying to normalise a child into being a, you know, typical boy or girl. And in fact, it's not just surgeries, but also hormonal interventions. Because we have a situation, even here in Australia, where children as young as 3 or 4 weeks old are being given testosterone treatments in Australian hospitals to reinforce their gender identity and, dare I say, also sexual orientation. And it is absolutely disgraceful. And we also have little girls here, even at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne, who are having their clitorises removed or reduced in size, obviously without their consent because they're little babies and it's not medically required. Surgery is just one part of it. But for a long time, doctors are arguing, you know, telling people what it is that we want and who we are. And by having it in Darlington Statement, we're actually clarifying who it is that we are, what it is that we want. The focus, however, now is on building allies and having our allies understand the Darlington Statement, what it is that we want, and then affirm their support for the Darlington Statement.
The Darlington Statement is a joint consensus statement by Australian and New Zealand intersex organisations and independent advocates, which was formed in March 2017. It sets out the priorities and calls by the intersex human rights movement in their countries and breaks them under six headings: a preamble, human rights and legal reform, health and well-being, peer support, allies, and education, awareness and employment. Meeting at their second retreat in April earlier this year, two affirmations were agreed upon and asked for public support. One affirmation was by persons with intersex variations, urging allies and supporters to actively acknowledge the distinctiveness of the diversity within the intersex population and respect the intersex movement without tokenism or instrumentalising or co-opting intersex as a means to other ends. The affirmation for allies affirming the Darlington Statement acknowledged the distinctiveness and diversity within the intersex population and asked allies to commit to adopting the objectives outlined. Even within our own communities, we do confuse what it means to stand up for intersex rights and to know not only when to step back, but when to properly acknowledge what to say.
We are pointing out the difference between, I guess, intersex and, you know, trans, for example, or gender diverse, and what it means to be intersex. We are asking groups to be mindful of, when they use GLBT and I, that they are actually thinking about what it means to include the I and whether indeed it is appropriate to include the I in that particular instance, and about working with groups such as Intersex Human Rights Australia and the AIS Support Group Australia and other intersex groups. Look, and I certainly keep in mind that people use the I because they're actually kind and they want to be inclusive. People, especially within our community, our GLBTI community, they want to be inclusive. We're just saying just to think about what that inclusivity means and don't do it about, you know, when it's tokenistic. Do it in a meaningful way and just think about the I and should it be included and how it should be included. And if it's not included, then don't use the I. Because, for example, if we're talking about sexual orientation, then I doesn't need to be included because intersex isn't about sexual orientation, neither is it about gender identity. So if it's about gender identity or gender diversity, then that should be trans or gender diverse, but not intersex. So just thinking about what the I means and whether it should be included or not.
The intersex rights movement around the world is still very new when compared to the GLBT movements, but that just means we need to play catch-up when being informed. It still deserves just as much acceptance, understanding and correct information being represented, just like everything else.
When I think about the intersex human rights movement, it is a new one. When I think about my first meeting with other intersex activists, or other intersex people, should I say, in the 1980s, it was very much controlled by doctors, and doctors just putting people with intersex variations together that they felt were safe and can put together. It wasn't controlled by us as intersex people. And we didn't even have a language around our bodies and our issues and about it being intersex. Then the 90s came, and thankfully the internet came, and that helped bring more intersex people together. So by the 2000s, we were able to get together and start having dialogues amongst each other and form an intersex community. So when you think about it, it's so fresh. It's between 10 and 20 years old, our movement. So we have had to learn a lot in that time. So I can understand the community and our allies in the GLBT world being confused, because we have come a long way and things have changed even for us about the way that we describe ourselves and our issues. But we are a mature community now, and the Darlington Statement certainly reflects that. And it is very helpful that now we have more intersex people out and public and able to talk about their own lived experience as intersex people.
Affirming the Darlington Statement is simple.
I'd love for people to go and visit the ERA website, ihra.org.au. Visit the website, read the Darlington Statement, and please, once you've read the Darlington Statement, and if you are an ally and want to support us, you can sign up as Affirming the Darlington Statement online.
That was Dina Curry speaking with Tony Briffer from Intersex Human Rights Australia about supporting the Darlington Statement and getting behind Australia's intersex communities. Links to the Darlington Statement can be found via our social media.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.